This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another Knife Talk podcast. My name is Mareko Malmasi. As always, I'm here with Craig's. How many Craigs are there? Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives and Jeff Fader of Fader Knives. We're here to keep you company in the shop, at the hand sanding bench, on the grinder, on your commute, wherever you're listening. We're here to help you troubleshoot through whatever you got going on, answer your questions, keep you company. We're here for you. We appreciate you being here for us.
We usually
like to start the episode off talking about the last week. It sounds like Jeff has some stuff to talk about, maybe. But Craig, you rock and rolling motherfucker. How you been?
You rock and rolling motherfucker, indeed.
I'm not good, actually. I'm really not good.
What's wrong?
I've been feeling like crap, like all week. And when I say crap, I mean, do you know when you feel tired, but like beyond tired? You're just achy and you're ready to sleep at all points. But on that, I've had the most terrible heartburn, which just hasn't gone. I think that's the root of it. This heartburn just hasn't gone away. Just hasn't gone away in it. Like since, what, Sunday? What's the day now? Thursday. So, yeah, I just feel old as today. And it's my wife's birthday today, so I'm trying to, make a fuss and trying to be up. But I'm just like, oh, man,
oh,
I just
boy.
Need to go to sleep for a week. Yeah, I feel bloody terrible.
You should send a message to Keith Richards and see what his what he does to keep going.
Blood transfusions.
He fights through it.
Yeah. No, it's like my digestive system. It's just basically my sister was over last week with her partner, and he's a big guy, like physically big, and we went to this restaurant, and it's basically eat whatever you like kind of place, and it just broke me, and I'm pretty sure I've broken something. Like internally,
like what?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I got a kink in my food pipe or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but I'm in a bad way.
Kink in the food pipe.
But I'm in a bad way, honestly. Yeah. I'm playing this down. It's actually far worse than it sounds. Yeah, I'm doctors tomorrow morning. And
really?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been sleeping. I'm to the point where I'm like a walking zombie. But I can't lay down flat because it just...
You might have like appendicitis.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's like a heartburn-y kind of thing.
Oh. Yeah. I listened last week. I thought I had a fucking heart attack. So this week, you might as well... Who knows what you got?
Exactly. Anyway, enough of my ailments as an old man. Mareko, what's been going on?
Well, I don't have IBS, thankfully. but I'm getting ready to go down to a friend's wedding this weekend. I haven't been to a friend's wedding in a long time. I don't know. It'll be interesting because I hardly ever see this guy, but he's a good dude. And he's actually, over the years, he's been super supportive with me starting the business and giving me pointers here and there with like self-promotion through Instagram and stuff, which is a lot of my early growth was thanks to his advice, because he comes from like a marketing and branding background. And so it'll be good to see him. I'll probably see some people I haven't seen since I graduated high school, because we're friends from high school. And there will be others there, so it'll be probably a very small but inevitable reunion of sorts, which can be good or bad. We'll see. I'm gonna try to not get too crazy. I think the last high school friend's wedding I went to, I got a little too wild. I was doing like one-handed cartwheels on the dance floor.
Oh wow!
Shit! Okay. I'd like to see if you put that on your Patreon. seriously.
And those were in my salsa dancing days. Let's be fair; that was a while ago.
Fine. So what?
But otherwise, I'm still working on this this Loveless style knife. It's definitely proving to be a challenge, but it's slow going, but I'm getting there. I'm making headway. Otherwise, I'm just kind of trying to prepare myself for future events I got coming up. Like, I'm going to be teaching at Coal Iron Works, actually, in Indiana in like late July. I got a 5 days that I'll be teaching there. So if people are interested, go check that out. But I also, I have Ireland coming up in Italy. I'm going to be down in Sacramento. I'm going to be in Eugene, as we all know, for the OKCA show.
Prep Eugene. Watch out, Eugene. He's coming.
You got to get the Astroglide ready.
Hey, yo!
What else? Yeah, just a lot. I'm doing collaboration work with Don Nguyen, as well as our friend Gabe Fletcher.
Busy times.
I got a lot on my plate, but it's not like Craig. Unfortunately, I don't have the acid reflux and stuff, but I have been waking up with stress dreams and getting really terrible sleep lately.
Jeez.
I'm trying not to feel like, I think I may have overextended myself a little bit.
Make the mess. When Tony, my business partner, and I were at the restaurant back in the day at Alva, back in the day, the owners would overbook the restaurant and then overbook it by like having like a private party and keeping the restaurant open. And we'd say, what do we do? It was fucking madness. And they would say to us, make the mess. Do whatever it takes to make the mess. And then Tony and I say that all the time. Make the mess, you clean it up. Don't worry about it. Just don't fucking say no.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it'll probably be about September when I get to clean up.
There you go. No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
What about you, Jeff? What's going on? What's
fucking the last madness. Week been like? Let's fucking hear about it. Madness. Madness from stem to stern. I woke up this morning thinking we were going to talk about Instagram because I'm slightly irritated about how people are referring to this kerfluffle. But at the same time, we've been doing everything we can do at Fader Knives to try to not try to do the things we can do to not have to depend on holding hands with Meta. We don't want to hold hands. This whole Instagram thing is about no one's getting banned. People are using and they're repeating words that are dumb. No one's being banned. No one's being oppressed. I've heard that before. They're just not recommending you. That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's it. They're not holding your hand. So we've been trying to do a lot of stuff and being proactive in the past few months in order to try to figure what out we're going to do. So we've been doing a lot of collaborations and just starting the ball rolling with collaborations. Because one of the things is not just like you set up collaboration and then next thing it's on. Some of these relationships take a long time. So we've known a number of chefs for a long time. We're going to do something with Brian Voltaggio. We did one with him years ago. And then we reached out to a good friend of ours, Elon Hall. He was the first Top Chef winner, and he's also a Food Network chef. He and I, we designed a knife together, and today was the day he was going to come up. Great. We're going to come up. We'll film a little of this. We'll show him the shop. We'll have a great day. Hopefully, it'll be fun. We had a blast. He came up. We showed him the knife. He loves the knife. He loves all the stuff. We showed him about knife making, explained to him, shot some video. But it wasn't like there was no forced stress. I thought he was going to be here for an hour. He was here all goddamn day to the point where all of a sudden I get a message from another chef, Food Network chef who I deal with. His name is Christian Petroni. He's amazing chef, great guy. He knew that Elon was here. And he says, send me your address. I'm coming over.
Oh, geez.
All of a sudden, this giant maniac shows up. I got.
Are they bringing food with them at least?
No one brought a goddamn thing. I haven't eaten since last night.
I
will tell you something after this whole thing that's very funny, but I can't. So Christian also now signed a deal with. He did a commercial with BMW. They gave him a BMW. He was making food at Yankee Stadium. He goes to Yankee Stadium. He's got the world by the balls, and he comes over here, and he's hilarious. But everything's crazy and madness, and he's telling these crazy stories and Food Network stories, and it was great. We're going to do a collaboration with him. I just literally got I just left them both 15 minutes ago. I'm like, I haven't eaten anything since last night, and I'm like fucking wired.
We had a fucking all-nighter.
Well, I didn't eat. I just slept. Okay. But I usually don't eat breakfast, and I had dinner last night, and that's about it. So I'm on, like, it was total madness. But it was the best type because it was guys who wanted to be here, wanted to work with me. We told stories. We knew people in common. We had jokes. It was like, it didn't feel like a corporate situation, which I've been involved with before, and it's just like you want to just, like, pull your hair out. And it was fucking funny. And I wish I could tell some of these goddamn stories, but I cannot. But it's hilarious. And Allison is excited, and Tony is excited. And then I'm going to pack up tomorrow morning. I'm going to go to the Center for Metal Arts to teach a class, friction folder class. I'm going to go see my buddy Pat down there. And then I get to finally rest, because the eclipse is, when this comes out on Monday, there's a solar eclipse. My wife is so amazing. She got Yankee tickets for the eclipse day. So we're going to watch the solar eclipse at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, cool.
It's cool. Everything's good, but I did.
Well, just
I did,
make sure you're in the right part of the stand where you can actually see it.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give. Last time there was a solar eclipse, everyone's, you got to wear special glasses.
Yeah.
I brought my welding hood out. I walked through my goddamn welding hood. It works just as good. It's a fucking same thing. I mean, if you can't look at the sun in your welding hood, I mean, what the fuck? But I thought would be interesting is I think, because we haven't all been together in a while, I really do believe we should kind of bring up this whole Instagram thing, because now you're starting to see Neil Camamore is making comments about it. You know, people are really kind of like freaking out. No. I think it would be good for us to just talk about it in the sense. My fear is, and I'm going to go on the Work for a Podcast next week, because I feel as though people are talking about it in a way and they're parroting things that they're hearing, and it's an overreaction. And I feel as though we, as creative people, we need to figure out creative ways to move forward. And I feel as though this whole, they're banning us, it's a ban, we're being oppressed, all this, it's, you're hearing it over and over again, and people are freaking out.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think, Craig?
I think that it's a blip. So, they don't, I mean, we talked about this last week, we're such a small percentage of their user group that they're not considering sort of damage that they're doing to small businesses like ours. But I also think that it will come around. So they want eyeballs. They want likes. They want reshares. They want these things. That's what keeps the platform alive. So what they're doing, they're experimenting, doing different things, and they're trying to keep people happy, governments happy, that kind of thing, you know, but, you know, saying we're not promoting violence and all the rest of it, you know, whether, you know, knives and that's another thing. So I think, as I said, they want eyeballs on stuff. They're trying things out. They're always changing algorithms. See what works, what doesn't. A/B testing. Okay, we're getting more eyes doing that. We're getting more eyes doing that. It's going to come back around at some point. I'm pretty sure of it. So yeah, I think people are maybe overreacting. That thing that we've talked about before, if all your eggs are in Instagram's basket, you need to, you know, consider your business, I suppose, because you need more than that. This just needs to be one small slither of your business. If everything is dependent on this, you're always going to be in trouble, because you're relying on a third party to promote your business. But I think, hold tight. I think, yeah, they're trying things out. They'll be, as I say, A/B testing everything, and it's not just knife makers that are being hit. I bet there's other small sections of things that we can't even think of that are currently being hit. So yeah, hold tight. I'm sure things will work themselves out.
What do you think, Mareko?
I mean, to build on what Craig was saying, I think it's important that. Well, actually, first I want to say, for some reason, the way Craig is talking, I know he's got people on the inside. I wonder if he knows something.
I went to school with a guy who is a lawyer for Google, and I've been trying to figure out how to reach him to, and what, no, because I want to know his opinion, because I honestly believe this is all, I think we're all missing the mark in regards to what this is, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, but I think we got to kind of go back to try to imagine, like, there wasn't an Instagram. Maybe we're just back on Facebook. How do you promote on Facebook? You put out content that's interesting to people, and they share it. Like, there wasn't all this going viral and videos getting hundreds of thousands or millions of views was not a thing until just recently. And I think we got to go back to kind of like the traditional way, which is slow, especially when it comes to growth, but the person to person, you making a piece of content that's interesting, and then you sharing, and then somebody in your audience who can still see your posts just fine if they want to see your post. Then if it's interesting enough to them, they share it to somebody else. Potentially that person. But if, you know, it's this, what is it? Kevin Kelly had this 1,000 true fans. I don't know. I think it was an article or a paper, whatever, a while back. And it's about focusing on the smallest viable number of people. Because people are, I feel like a lot of makers are worrying. I was just talking to a very well established maker. He's got a big following. And he's like, this is bullshit. I'm like, bro, you have 30,000 fucking people that you can still show your stuff to. Figure out how to connect with those people. Growth at this point, like, even if it's only 1,000 people that are really seeing your stuff, and his reels are still getting like 13,000 views, 5,000 views here and there, you know, he's still getting a lot of eyeballs. He's still reaching 1,000 accounts. And even if it's 200 people, I was like, the way he makes knives, you cannot make 200 knives in the next 3 months or the next fucking 2 years. So just figure out how to keep interacting with these people. And I agree with Craig. I think it's a blip. I think things will change. They're always changing. You just got to roll with what you got and what you can do. Complaining about it and flailing your arms around, unfortunately, is not going to fucking do anything to help either you or to affect any kind of change. So my advice has been, pretend like Instagram doesn't fucking exist. Then what do you do? Do that.
Here's the interesting thing. I still have, the crazy part is, it's not over. It's basically, right. We've got this, there was this long section of time when Instagram was helping push the reels going forward.
For sure.
And a lot of guys really rode the wave and gained a lot of success through that. And that's great. But they shut that fucking water drip off. That water pipe's off now for a lot of us. And we just have to understand that it's not the end of the world. We're not being oppressed because they're not helping us. They're not helping us. And I don't believe that it is a political thing. I've been hearing some bullshit saying people's going, so it's all politics. This isn't about politics. This is, and I've said this, and when you hear this, I'm going to be quick, but at the same time, we've been talking about this for over a year. Section 230, this is all 100% Section 230. Which is part of the Telecommunications Act, and it protects these giant third party, these giant companies from being sued for the content that's put on them. Now, okay, but when you start to use the deep learning software and the algorithms, then all of a sudden it's their submissions to you of what they think you'll like. That's the problem. And if they think that you're a potential liability, they're going to just say, you know, instead of saying you're off Instagram, we're just not going to promote you because we don't want to be liable for the shit that you push. And that's it. It isn't anything to do with politics. This is a completely 100% covering their ass. Now, in regards to being a blip, yes, but that's just the way it's going to be. And you know what? In terms of violence, you can watch a million videos of guys getting kicked in the balls, and they don't turn that shit off. People love getting kicked in the balls. I watch kook slams. Kook slams is the best. It's all these surfing things and boating things and these people crashing their boats and stuff.
Did you see the guy get thrown out of his fucking car?
The guy
beach?
Who drove his fucking car down the beach. I got sent that 10 times. Guy's driving down the beach. He's got two wheels in the water. He starts to hydroglide or something like that. The whole car flips over and catapults him out the window into the water. It's crazy. But it's like viral video because this shit is good. Thank God he landed in the water. If he landed on the concrete, it wouldn't have been on there. But this is 100% very negotiable. And the problem I have with knife makers who categorize themselves as artists and categorize themselves as creative, all of a sudden the world is ending? You got to be kidding me. I thought you're creative people. Don't call yourself artists anymore. I don't want to hear it. You're not creative people at all. If you're going to throw yourselves around and I'm leaving. Mark Zuckerberg, I'm sending you a message. I'm leaving. If he don't give a fuck about you. He don't give a fuck about you at all. You gonna put his sunscreen on his face and look like a fucking robot and make his swords too? He don't give a fuck. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit torqued up.
Jeff, I'm wondering when you take an order online and people fill in the form with all the rest of it, do you have an option that saying, where did you hear about us? Like, is it Instagram? Was it a web search? It'd be interesting to know how many people are coming from Instagram.
Now I'm getting a lot more. I'm grateful for customers who are repeat business. I'm getting a ton of repeat business, which that's the ultimate. You know, you're doing the right thing if you're getting. And I'm getting from years and years and years. People are supporting me for years and years and years.
Yeah.
What I can do is I can see where people came from based on. I can see an IP address. Or an area that they live in. And yeah. I can kind of correlate that when I use my stories to put in stuff and then I do, like a link and buy it here. I can see how many people are coming from my Instagram stories, and there are a lot. Right, so most of the new people are all still coming from Instagram. Now, here's the funny thing. I got that goddamn we can't promote you, you know, fucking regulated goods bullshit. And I started it was April Fool's, and I thought, I'm going to do an April Fool's Day thing. I did two April Fool's Day things we've got to talk about. One, I got in a lot of trouble. The first April Fool's Day, I said, I'm going to be on Forging Fire tonight. I'm so excited to finally announce it. I don't know if anyone saw that, but I wrote.
Yes.
I said, it was fucking hilarious. Wait. I'm so excited.
You sold it so well.
People went out of their fucking minds.
And I was actually sitting next to my wife when I played that, and she's like, is he fucking serious? And I was like, Sarah, what day is it today?
Dude, can I tell you this? I the number one is, I got him to burn Jared Thatcher right now.
Oh,
so
shit.
So Jared Thatcher's wife said, I wish we could watch it. We can't figure out where to watch it. And I said, Kylie, what day is today? She goes, it's Monday. I said, would you check the calendar, Kylie? And she goes, I don't have a calendar. I don't know what. I said, it's fucking April Fool's. And she goes, you got me. And she said, good, because Jared Thatcher called you a fucking sellout. And so immediately I texted the whole thing and I started cursing out Jared Thatcher. I'm like, how do you not know that it's April Fool's Day? I had so many people screaming and hollering, I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to watch. I'm just like, are you out of your fucking minds? And then one guy goes, I thought you don't like Forge and Fire. I'm like, motherfuckers. And then I was just going to write something. I'm like, fuck it. Let it ride. I got one message from a guy who was seem like you're such an asshole. And he said, you feel like you're better than this and you got some nerve. No, I'd rather watch that show. And I was just like, so what I do, I just left it. And I didn't block him to do anything.
Did you leave him on red?
And I just he knows that I saw it and I left him alone. Oof. But he flipped out. So on the same day, I decided I was going to do a reel. And I decided, I'm going to do the flip thing, but I'm not going to do the flip thing where something turns into a knife. I'm going to do something turns into a toothbrush. And I use my Jimmy DiResta pick. I flip the pick, turns into a toothbrush. I start brushing my teeth. I hold the knife up for a second because I'm trying to avoid the algorithm. I got three times as many people who don't follow me looking at that than any other thing I've done. There are fucking loopholes to this shit. And people need to just be a little bit creative and be creative. And this whole thing has been working for me. But the hilarious part is it was like, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to turn into a toothbrush and brush my teeth. And it was like my numbers for non-followers were huge. Like a ton. It was great. So I had to like say something in this. Some people were very cross with me for saying that, number one, I was going on Forged in Fire. And number two, I wrote it the next day. I said, look, the real joke is that Forged in Fire aren't paying their people. The last 30 episodes, they haven't paid the champions. Guy reaches out to me. He goes, how do you know that? No one said anything. And I want to say, everybody signed NDAs. No one, why would anyone say anything? They don't want to get sued. I was like, I never heard anything about that. Like, everyone's clammed up because they don't want to be lawyered up.
Right.
So.
Do we have any feedback regarding that from last week?
We have feedback. Let me see if we have feedback in regards. We do have a lot of good feedback. Yes, we do have feedback. We were talking last week about Jason and Travis Kelce. they're interested in maybe going on Forge and Fire, and we throw ourselves
yes,
away about that
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So Pendleton Bill Debbie says, here's the background on the Kelsey thing. The Kelsey Brothers New Heights podcast has a couple million listeners. Jason's a big fan of Forge and Fire. Travis doesn't have a clue. They were on the media for the last 2 years. Jason was in People Magazine and Travis with Taylor Swift. So he says NFL telecasts where he played and she was in the stands got a huge ratings bump. At its peak a few years ago, Forge and Fire drew 1.5 million viewers. Last season, between 250,000 and 400,000 viewers. So they dropped in viewership. If they were on the show would have the highest ratings they've ever had, and I assume that's why they want to do it. I assume they would do something like that when they had David Baker, I think, they basically wanted to try to do it, and it was just basically like,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It was a concept that may happen or may not happen just to help the viewership of Forge and Fire. Do you have any guys have any comments about the Forge and Fire thing? Or
No, I just think maybe it's just past its time.
I think that's it.
It's been on long enough, and it's captured. You know, the people who would have captured, and you know. It hasn't changed much, so they're done with it.
It would be nice if they either paid the winners or sent their swords back.
Hmm. Of course, but I'd imagine they're in a situation now where they can't afford to, and therefore they can't air the episodes, and you know it's a catch-22 situation. But you know it's all they're doing.
Well, they got to give the swords back then, because I mean now we're in a situation of like, you know, you're going to pay me or you're going to give me my fucking sword back.
Yeah. Nasty business.
We also have, in regards to the social media, Walker Knife Company says, look, I know this issue has been beaten around the bush, but I'd like to make a point that I haven't heard much. The unfortunate reality is that social media has replaced the, quote, town square. It is, in fact, where people congregate for discussion today. Therefore, no matter what industry you're in, it's become a place to have to be competitive in business. My feeling is that because... of this, it should be regulated like a utility, like the necessity it is, with fair and equal access for all legal businesses. This can only be done through legislation, and normally I'm not a proponent of more government, but we aren't the only industry affected by this. A legislative action could be a win for equal access and free speech and protect the social media companies from liability and content. A win for everyone. Write your representatives. You know what? I believe that the best thing that Instagram could do would have have people who use it sign a waiver saying that Instagram is not liable for the things posted. That would be the easiest thing in the world. To just basically like, because this is what it is. They're not trying to teach. They don't want to teach people. They got girls with big tits out there. You know, they don't care about that. You know that. They don't care about any of this stuff.
Users aren't meant to be, is it 16 or 18 anyway? But they know that kids are all over it, you know? So I think that's the issue.
You can, on Twitter, I mean, Twitter's like real Wild West. I mean, there's pornography on Twitter, you know?
Lately, it's pretty, it's pretty strong.
It's fucking bananas. Like, if you, I knew somebody who I follow liked a pornography picture or a video. A fucking balls deep video, and all of a sudden it goes on my fucking feed. My wife is just like, "What the fuck are you looking at?" I'm like, "Bro, this asshole liked a fucking girl getting a ball slapped on her ass, and now all of a sudden I have to see this." I mean, there's Elon Musk. He got no filter. He don't give a fuck.
Not at all. Yeah.
So, what do you think?
Okay. Well, before we get my record points, let's just listen to this a second.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
.com. Did you see that double decker, which they posted the other day?
Yes, I did.
How cool does that look?
Temper oven on the bottom. That's the move. Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on what we were talking about, Mareko? Oh,
there was a lot that you were talking about.
So go ahead. Pick your shot.
He's signing up for a Twitter account as we speak.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, I stopped using Twitter such a long fucking time
where's
ago.
Where's the fucking ball slapping ass hashtag?
Yeah.
I'm good.
12-inch patent welded. That's his handle.
Patent welded ball. What did you say?
12-inch patent welded.
I mean, I think, especially regarding the Forge and Fire stuff, yeah, I think they should really try to do right by the people that have basically made the show actually interesting. Right. And they're just not doing that. And I hope... I whoever's listening to this, and potentially if Forge and Fire starts reaching out to people again for future episodes for whatever fucking reason, please be very thoughtful. Do not think that this is going to be your break that's going to change your fucking life forever. You could win $1,000 or $10,000 or this is going to be your 15 minutes of fame. You're going to be on TV. It's not awesome. It's for me, the best part was meeting the other makers, but I can go to a fucking Hammerin, or I can go to Blade Show, or I go somewhere else and meet makers. I don't need to do it through this thing, because essentially it's very exploitative, where they are literally making millions of dollars off of advertisement, especially on a episode's premiere, and they can't even fucking pay the people who are doing the show a decent wage just to be there in film, and then an additional prize on top of that. Like, what the fuck? And so I would say be very careful in regards to thinking about possibly doing that if they do that, because I feel like over the years, like, it's been 2015 was the first season, so it's been about 10 years now. They've kind of gotten schmarmier and schmarmier and found ways to get theirs at the expense of the makers. So, and honestly, you guys, there was a lot that was said. So what else?
Well, we were talking about the Instagram stuff.
I said my little bit about the Instagram. I think, and again, to build on what Craig was saying, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know, use other resources, go back to Facebook. I'm actually really surprised at how many people are seeing my stories and on Facebook for whatever reason and seeing my posts on Facebook versus what it feels like was happening before.
Well, they're automatically putting your stories on Instagram. They're already redirecting it to your business account on Facebook.
For whatever reason, mine goes to my personal page.
Okay.
And I think I got it. It's just about managing connected accounts. But I think making use of your email lists. I think, honestly, while I've said in the past, what's the value in a trade show when, you know, you maybe meet 100 people, especially if you're selling culinary knives, 100 people who are actually interested in your work, out of maybe a 10,000 attendees that go to a show. But that's, I think there's also added value for you as a maker going to those events, because you also get to meet other makers and develop relationships with those people. You get to see phenomenal work firsthand, whether you touch it or not, which can help inform and maybe inspire or influence your own designs. So I think right now, you know, people should still keep posting, because you still have an audience, whatever size it is, to engage with. But also, you know, you gotta look at where else you can spend your time, and kind of develop an audience somewhere else, or engaging people other places. Maybe it's over on YouTube. Start a vlog. Maybe blogs are gonna come back. Start a blog. I don't fucking know. But again, I think I want people to try to think. What's that?
And a podcast is like a blog.
It's an audio blog, I guess.
Sorry for interrupting.
Would it be called an AUG?
Right, get back to your point, you. How dare you?
I just think, like I was saying earlier, you know, what did people do before Instagram? And look at those old approaches. If you're feeling like, especially you're not being able to connect with your potential customers or grow your audience, you just got to be creative, like you're saying, Jeff, and find another way. I'm saying, you know, I've been telling people kind of maybe pretend like Instagram doesn't exist, and then figure out what would you do to grow your audience, to grow your business or your awareness of your work, and do that.
I think the hashtag thing is making kind of a comeback. I was talking to Chris Zepp a couple weeks ago, and he had a long meeting with someone from Meta. And what this is when I first started doing the kind of magic tricks videos. Okay. And he was saying that Meta is really wants you to use hashtags. And the funny thing about hashtags is there's so many people who use these like very knife community specific hashtags that are just like, your normal customer or first-time customer, this not might be for them. You know, like doing knife porn is like you're just and all that stuff is just fucking bananas. I mean, I just think that we need to kind of, instead of targeting videos for other knife makers, I think you need to figure out how to do the reels or stuff for a potential customer. And the whole idea is just try to be more creative. I was talking to Riley Kirkpatrick a long time ago, and what he says was, he was telling me, he said, you know, Yeti coolers, sometimes they'll do a video or a commercial and the cooler won't even be in the fucking commercial. He's like, there are ways in which to make somebody interested in getting you to your website without having to just have to do a hand pick with a knife.
Yeah.
And I think that there's ways in which to be creative. This reminds me, we have one feedback from our friend Wilder Knives of Alaska. He says, Instagram is run by a bunch of tech nerds that have no idea that, quote, there's a knife community. I highly doubt there's any intentional suppression of this community. I've only been making knives for 3 years. Before that, I had no clue there was a whole community out there revolving around custom-made knives. So these nerds definitely have no idea.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
So... well, what would you like to do? You guys want to do questions? You want to do something more of this? We have red flags. Really up to you. Craig, how does your kinked gut feel?
My kinked pipe.
Kinked food pipe.
Well, let's do some questions. But Brian, what have you got to say?
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
Do it now. Okay, I'll do the first one. LCA Knifeworks. Contacted via Instagram. We are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Whether that name will last forever, who knows? Who knows these days?
By the way, I posted the last image. I do all the posting. I use a little thumbnail of the Knife Talk logo, and then I use the stickers that Instagram provides. I thought, let's see what happens. I did the picture of the Instagram logo, and then the image that they supply of a knife plunging into someone, that's the one that they're banning. That's the one that they're saying they have a real problem with. I use all their shit.
Yeah, crazy. Okay, LCA Knifeworks. Hey, y'all. I was approached by a newer sporting goods store who are looking to have custom knives in their store. How do I prepare this new stop-staying store? Right, let me start again. I was approached by a newer sporting goods store, ding, who are looking to have a custom knives in their store, ding.
Drink.
How do I prepare this new store, ding, owner, and the employers of the store, ding, to actively and effectively sell my knives in their store, ding. He agreed on wholesale, which is awesome, but I don't want it to end there. I want phone calls saying, we need more knives. They're selling faster than $20 BJs on Valentine's Day in our store. Ding. I recognize a simple info card for my knives might not cut it. What are some things that y'all would do to make this work in the store? Ding.
So he's got a deal with a knife company, with the store, ding, and he wants to educate the staff to be more proactive to sell his work at their store, ding. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Marco?
I think a sporting goods store is, unless you are set up for production in some really meaningful way, I don't think it's the way to go.
I think it's the way to go to have them there. I think the idea to motivate the staff to sell the knives is kind of more of the problem.
Mm. Oh, okay. So he's ready to do it.
He's ready to do it. But he feels as though there's got to be a way for him to activate the staff to move more material, move more of his knives. That's really, he wants to educate the staff to kind
educate,
of,
yeah.
To push
I'd say,
them towards
okay. Maybe a good call would be to spend a morning or an afternoon, come down, talk through the knives with them, explain how they're made. You know, like when you go to a restaurant, sometimes the server comes over and they're just really knowledgeable about everything. And they know where the cod has come from, and they know everything, you know? They seem to enjoy it more. You feel more looked after. I think maybe he needs to go along that route and just spend some time with the staff explaining, you know, how he goes about making these knives, about the materials that he's using, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And sort of get their buy-in. So they're more enthusiastic then when it comes to a customer. They've got something to sell, right. You know. They've got some knowledge.
Well, and maybe I think who is it? Quentin Middleton is brilliant with this kind of stuff because he does pop-ups at stores where his stuff sells. He will go there and he will spend time being there for a day or a couple of days, depends on what he's got available. Maybe it's just an afternoon, but I think that is a great opportunity not only to help educate the employees, but to also kind of do some face-to-face with other potential clients and customers. But I would say, you know, you would want to do some sort of promoting around it, just so that you're getting more traffic on that particular day, and people get to meet you and talk to you, or you can do, you know, a demonstration or a presentation of some sort and go through all that stuff yourself as well. But I think something to be careful of is thinking that your customers are going to sell it the same way you would and talk about it with the same passion and conviction and love for the work as you will. That is not realistic because it's not theirs. And I don't know if they're working on commission or if they're just hourly, but
what are their incentives to care?
Right.
If they're just regular employees.
Yeah. If they're just regular employees, they're just there to get a fucking paycheck. And you might be trying to get maybe a little bit too much out of them than even their own fucking employer can get out of them, honestly. So, I don't know. I would be careful about that. But I think doing a pop-up, especially if you're going to be doing this consistently, I think that would be a good way. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe it's once every couple months. Maybe there's a local brewery. They can come do some beer tastings or whatever the fuck. You guys can coordinate with a local restaurant and they can have a little pop-up outside and you're doing some demonstrations. I don't know what. But I think it's stuff like that that's going to really, I think, create some of that interest in your work. But at the same time, unless you're in a giant city, it's hard to tap in, it's easy to tap out the local market that might actually be interested in buying those knives from you, because there might not be, honestly, a lot of people to pull from in the first place.
It's really hard to make an employee of a store push. I hated my shit being in stores because I felt like there was no motive. I knew there was no motivation behind to these people. I was just I was just filling a space that was with some colorful shit in their store. And it's going to be really, really hard to try to activate a sales force where they're trying to just stock the shelves and make sure the place doesn't get robbed. And who knows, you know, the guy comes in stoned and all of a sudden, you know, he just needs to, whatever. You know, there's a couple ways. What you could do is you could give them some merch. Give the fucking people who work there, go in there and give them some FaceTime, and then give them a hat, give them a shirt, maybe give them a fucking knife if you have to. I mean, we have a system set up where we can give away knives and stuff as promotion, and we deduct it at the end of the year. If you have the opportunity to do that, all of a sudden it doesn't hurt as much. Give them hats, give them shirts, go in. I love Mareko's idea of setting up like a little, you know, like a little tasting table or something like that. And you're coming in there and you're talking to your customers and you're making a big production and you answer questions and stuff like that. But don't count on these motherfuckers to, you know, they got to clock in and clock out. They can't worry about, you know, how their sales are doing with LCA Knife Works. I mean, you motherfuckers just want to get out of that store.
Yeah, and I think it's not because they're like bad people or lazy or people, but they got their own fucking lives, really. Right. Right,
miserable. And they're miserable.
Maybe
they're miserable. That's
maybe they love store. Their sports store sales job.
If I have to move one more box of paracord, I swear to God, all these fucking it's UGG boots and Crocs and Tevas all over the place. I want to slit my throat. With this knife from LCA Knife Works.
Jesus Christ. We don't condone self-harm. I would say also maybe talk to the manager and figure out when, because, sorry. Figure out when they have training days or when they're doing like all hands on deck, because trying to coordinate people like that just for a particular product, I think is difficult. But if you stack it on top of a meeting that somebody's already having, that will be a good opportunity to have everybody in there. I think that would, because otherwise that's also a lot to ask of a business, yeah, to be like, I want all of your employees in this place for a 2-hour conversation about my work. That's they can't request those people to come and do that without paying them.
You better give them a knife. That's it. I mean, you better. their best salesperson is going to be someone who owns one of your knives. That's going to be your best sales. And they like it. That's it. Otherwise.
Oh, the end of each month, whoever sold the most gets a knife. You know? Make it something, an incentive for them to sell. Incentive.
Look at you. Craig Lockwood, the old kink food pipe, did it again.
Oh, and if it's a small local thing, or I can't remember what he said, but if it's a small thing, and there's like maybe they got 5 employees that work in a particular department in regards to the knives, fucking have them, if they are local, have them over to your shop and do a little thing there and forge and show them some of the process. That could be a way to really like invigorate them and make them excited. But again, it's difficult. Like, people got their own fucking lives.
Yeah,
it's hard
they're all gonna
to,
get
it's hard
fired
to coordinate them.
All those people are all going to be fired. You're going to do it all again.
Keep doing it all over again, over and over again.
It's like, this is the way it is. I think what I do like about LCA Knife Works is he's motivated. So if you're motivated, you'll figure out how to motivate these motherfuckers with their Tevas.
Yeah.
I think Craig's suggestion is
competition.
Good, yeah.
End of each month, whoever sells the most. Yeah. They get a knife. Mm-hmm.
And talk up to the guys with the $20 blowjobs. I mean, find out where that guy's coming from and, you know, link up. Have a collaboration between the sporting goods store and the $20 blowjobs.
All right. I got one from the bottom of the list. We got at JH Knife Shop. He says, "Hello, men. I've been asking to try my hand at make. Oh, sorry. Let me back it up. I have been asked to try my hand at making a one-piece tomahawk. I've done some reading and ordered a big piece of 80 CRV2 along with 3 gallons of AAA oil. My even heat LB18 is wide enough to place it on its side, but not tall enough to put it in edge up. Like I normally do for knives. Would setting it on its side lead to a compromised heat treatment? I plan to use some of the ceramic pins for my fixture to create an air gap under the steel. As always, thank you for your input, Jacob." So I think it sounds like he wants to stand it on the eye at the on the bottom or on the floor of the kiln and then have the edge straight up.
Right.
But I would imagine that you would not necessarily have it lying on its side, but lying like maybe with the edge towards the back of the kiln and the eye towards the door. But the edge, because it's a tomahawk, right? So it shouldn't be too much wider than maybe like four inches.
It's a one piece. So right. It's got the handles in there too. So it's
a one piece.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just was thinking about the.
It's a one piece. It's one piece. It's a one piece.
That means the handle attached. Okay. Right. Yeah. That could be problematic.
So he's thinking about laying it flat, or basically on the bed of the oven.
Yeah, I think just propping it up somehow, keeping it off the floor, because the floor is going to be a heat sink, or it's going to be difficult for the heat to get around. Right? What do you guys think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not. It's not forced air. It's not like like convection, an oven where they have a fan, like a fan in there, and it, you know, it distributes the heat. So where you've got the elements that are sort of routed out of the brickwork, I suppose. You are going to have sort of hot spots actually on the surfaces, I'd have thought, which is why generally you'd stand it up, because you negate that then. I'd imagine that it would be an issue. And when it comes to then quenching, you're going to get some serious warps, because one side's going to be far hotter than the other.
I think that if you use, like, you know, if you, Even Heat sells those little trays and they have the ceramic pins. I think that if you laid it on top of those pins in the middle, it's flat on one side, I don't think it would make a big difference. I don't think, you know, especially you could figure out a way for the pins to be not touching the head of the axe. You could figure out some way to have it. I would do that rather than, like, put it diagonally inside where one thing is, you know, I would just be more careful about the edge because you're not really worrying so much about heat treating the handle as you are heat treating the edge of the axe.
For sure.
So I would probably not worry so much about it and maybe figure out a way so the head is kind of floating in the air and not just, I mean, even if you, here's an example, you get a piece of steel with a bar in it with a little hook and then you could kind of teeter it up so it's like hanging up and the axe is hanging in the air in the middle of the back of the forge. I think that'd be fine. I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't lay on the bottom of the forge, but you could get clever. You don't have to be straight up and down.
I had another thought.
Go ahead.
He should just if he has the ability to, then torch heat treat it. Because like you were saying, you don't need to harden the rest of the body of the head and the handle. If you do it like Ben Snur style, where the way he's heating up the faces of the hammers.
But he doesn't have integral hammers.
Well, you don't. You can just do it with a single rosebud. You don't need a burner on both sides. You can do it with just one. But that would mean then you have to have that oxyacetylene torch set up.
Yeah, you'd have to have that. I think the even heat gives you the closest dimension to the heat that you want, especially if he's forged this whole thing. You might as well just jerry-rig it in that forge. I don't think standing up and down makes a difference. I think just make sure you're equal in the air, I think, is fine. I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, I think, ambient air available all around is going to be important. I would be curious what his forge looks like, because maybe then he could potentially heat treat it out of his forge. I don't know.
There you go. We can all, you know.
I think we solved that case. All right.
Okay. Dan Watson Knives. Again on Instagram. This is a long one. Strap in. Good day. Good day there, and thanks for the great podcast of the years. Well, thank you, Dan. I've been happily using 1084, 15N20, and 80CRV2 for about 90% of my knives for the last 5 or 6 years, with thoroughly tried and tested results that are completely satisfactory to me. However, I do occasionally wonder if some of the slightly more complex steels are worth the investment from a product quality point of view. According to the book Knife Engineering, there's a world of steel that has better stats than the basic steels I mostly use. However, I very much value my years of experience working with the basic carbon steels, and I'm aware that it can take a significant amount of testing to figure out the real-world benefits of other steels, such as how it grinds, how it etches, performs, complexity of the heat treatment, etc. It's an open-ended question, but I'd love to hear your thoughts, Dan. So before we do that, Jeff, how would you have written that question?
You mean not the Magna Carta? We've been getting a lot of Magna Cartas lately. I would say, how would I write it? I would write it exactly the way Dan wrote it. And I should have. I just can't edit these. I got too much to do. I would have said I would have said the way he said it. I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to criticize him. Here's what I would do, though. I was listening to. I bought the video from Jason Knight, the Forge series, which is great, a great resource. And what he said in the first episode was, I hear all these people. They get all these different steels, Get one steel and just use that one steel. And that's what I've done. I don't fuck around with all these other steels. I can tell you, I mean, I can do other things, but I just don't play too much. I stick with one. Like my carbon steel, the one I like the most is 52-100. I love it. I love the way it heat treats. I love the way it finishes. I love the way it etches. I love the way it gets dark. I love everything about it. I love the way it performs. It's great. For forging, I like 1084. I love the way it forges. I love the way it normalizes, heat treats, finishes. I love that. For stainless, I started with 440C, and I used it for years and years and years. And then I fucking got tired of it because it's just too wear resistant. And now I use AEBL. Took a long time to get there, but I love it. So I don't really fuck too much with all these other places. I've been fooling around with the ADCRV2 only because the Baker Forge stuff uses that. But other than that, I'm a fan of finding something you like and really spending the time to figure it out. And then, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah, makes sense. And I think, I mean, regarding his question, I suppose it depends what type of stuff he's doing. If he's doing culinary knives, these sort of super steels, as they may call them, a lot of it, I think, is just sort of marketing stuff. You know, yeah. Most steels are going to do the job anyway. But yeah, I think that's great advice, actually. It's, you know, find what you like and just stick with that. And then you can dial everything in perfectly each time, and you can be consistent.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a reason that the 1080 or 10 series steels, whether it's 1075, 1080, 1084, 1095, whatever, and 15 and 20 are great and tried and true combination. It's because they forge really well together. And some of the issue that I actually experienced just a couple weeks ago is that some of these more kind of, I would, for lack of a better term, more sophisticated steels, I guess, they don't necessarily play nicely. I made a billet of steel to demonstrate down at the Travis Wirtz Hammerin with Apex Ultra and with the cladding of 1080 and 15 and 20. And I did not take into consideration all the other stuff that the Apex Ultra has going on. This is nothing against Apex Ultra. It's been shown to be a great steel. I just wasn't thinking about it being such a large chunk of material in that billet and how well that's going to move compared to the other material. And it didn't move for shit. And it's just because it's got different alloying elements and materials in it that make it move differently. And so if you are going to start experimenting with some of these other kind of more boutique or super steels, that is definitely, unless you can find good information online, that is going to be some of the experimentation and trial and error and R&D that you're going to have to go through figuring out what steels go together nicely and play nicely, forge nicely, and come back together nicely. Again, the 10 series and the 15 and 20, they work pretty well together. They heat treat in a very similar range. That's another issue about using other steels they might heat treat very dramatically differently from each other. Rather than at the same range or at almost the exact same spot. The performance difference that you would get, honestly, fucking 99.9% of potential customers are not going to know the difference in the nuanced performance difference between the materials. You can, you know, people can look at numbers and stuff, and obviously Dr. Larry Thomas has done a great job doing tons of tests and doing Catra tests and all these whatever best tests and stuff like that around sharpness, edge retention, wear resistance, edge holding ability, geometries, all this different stuff. But it ultimately comes down to just how, especially if it's a culinary knife, just how is that fucking thing cutting? How often you need to sharpen it? Probably, honestly, even just with carbon, it being made from carbon steel, it's not going to need to be sharpened that often. I sharpen my knife once a year, maybe. And if it comes down really to maybe people understanding all the other things around kind of protecting that delicate edge, proper washing, storage, and all that other stuff. But I think if you want to play with the other boutique steels, maybe in just mono steels or simple sandmise, that might be the place to kind of start experimenting with those. But at the same time, while Laren Thomas's book really helps with dialing in heat treatment, which I know has helped Jeff with his ABL and helped many others with their heat treat, even myself with like processes and heat treating and preparing for a final hardening of the blade. the knife material that you spend the most time with, that you've done the most testing with, whether it's just cutting or actual destruction testing, that is the steel that you're going to be the most confident about. And I think that confidence is really what's most important in the end product, your confidence in it and its ability to perform and to do what it's supposed to do.
The people who tell you, oh, you don't use this or you don't know about that, fuck them. Because that's some bullshit. And I'll tell you a funny story. The first time I ever met Chris Epieri, Make Everything Shop, was when we were at John and Cliff and Jesse and Carrie and I were at the Maker Fair. And we were introduced to him, and he was really nice. We were talking about steels and stuff like that, and he was saying something about S7. And I said, I don't know anything about S7. I don't know how to heat treat S7. I don't know anything about it. And I don't care, frankly. I didn't say that, but in my mind, I'm thinking, and I don't care. He goes, you don't know anything about S7? And I said, who's this little motherfucker? And he ended up, Chris is one of my closest friends, but I'll never forget him just kind of like chesting on me, you know, puffing that chest out on S7. I'm like, who gives a fuck? You know, I think that we get a little, everyone's a little bit prescriptive, especially knife makers who, I'm with him. This is a great topic of conversation. There are so many out there, and I do get, like, when I hear people getting all, like, nerdy and like, a little bit condescending in regards to steals and stuff like that, that is pretty obnoxious to me, and I get very, like, you know, my hackles go up immediately, and I'm just like, who the fuck do you think you are, and who cares? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, just do your thing. But the best thing is by all means, the back of the Dr. Laren Thomas's book, Knife Engineering, has all the ranges for knives. The ranges. It's not one recipe. It's ranges.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. Okay. Before Jeff does this next question from Falcon Knives AK, I'm going to tell everybody all about maritimeknifesupply.com. Lawrence is a good dude. He's got everything that you possibly need. It is a one-stop shop for a knife maker. Steel, belts, handle materials, tools, forges. Anybody we mention on the show, basically, he gets it in stock. He's a good, good dude. They always got an offer on belts. If you buy a 10-pack, you get 10% off, that kind of thing. Rhino, Wedron, they've got it all. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, and it's Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram, so go follow them. And what's very exciting at the moment, they have in stock, and it's selling very, very quickly, is the Dharma Steel for this year's Build Along. So Dharma Steel, I mean, we've just been talking about super steels. Dharma Steel is a fantastic steel that's super, super easy to use. It is a stainless Damascus. And we do this Build Along, so everybody would have the same billet, and we see what people make. So head on over to maritimeknifesupply.com to order your Dharma Steel. If you're in Europe, I believe you can do that directly from Dharma Steel website, which is Dharma Steel AB.
The Build Along is on the Carly sent me a thing. The Build Along steel is only at Maritime Knife Supply.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's only from Maritime Knife Supply. Okay. That's cool. That's cool. He'll ship worldwide anyway. But yeah, and also make sure you're following Dharma Steel, dharmasteel.se and dharmasteelab on Instagram and dharmasteel.se on the web. Sorry, I'm just getting a lot confused here. It is the shit. And get involved in this build along because it's going to be fun. Just seeing what people make. Everybody will have the same billet and seeing what people make. And when it comes to that, we've got a question from Falcon Knives AK. Do you want to take that one?
Yes,
Jeff?
Sir. Hey, guys. This is Falcon Knives AK. A couple questions about the build along. Can I make more than one knife with the provided steel and submit it as a set, or is the judging one knife and one knife only? And do I physically have to have the blade at the time of judging, or can I try to sell it after it's finished and submit the photo? Thanks. Have any ideas of what the guidelines are for this build along?
They're far looser this time. So I believe it's a culinary knife, and that's all. That's the only sort of parameters they've given. So it's going to be wild to see what people are making. But with regards to this, a set. So, well, first bit is, can I make more than one knife with the provided steel? Yeah, and I think you can submit as many as you can, but they are being judged as individual knives, not sets.
Right.
But yeah, you can certainly make as many as you want, I think, and send them in. The second part, do I have to physically have the blade at the time of judging, or can I try to sell it after I'm finished and submitted the photo? Well, the judging is being done by photos, but you might want to keep hold of the knife, because if you're winning, the value of that knife skyrockets. So rather than get rid of it, you might want to keep hold of it just in case.
Skyrockets.
As it was an award-winning knife. Yeah. I mean,
tell me about it.
Jeff's been there. Yeah. So to answer the questions, yeah, you can make as many knives as you want, submit as many as you want. They will be judged as a singular knife. It needs to be a culinary knife. And yeah, basically, it's all about that photo. So make sure it's a beautiful photo. But once the photo is submitted, do what you like with the knife.
Falcon, I think that basically what he's saying is, can I make it and sell it before the invitational? And
I think that's what he's saying, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. So my suggestion is yes. Do whatever you have to do. You just send a picture. Just, you know, you don't have to have it. It's not like they're going to strip search you and, you know, pat you down for the knife. I mean, don't do your thing, man. Just take a good picture of it and submit it. And I mean, it, you know, and be involved. But at the same time, pay your bills. That's number four. Pay your bills.
Yeah, if you need to sell it, obviously sell it. Yeah, so. But what I when I think of selling it, really sell it in that photo as well, because there's going to be some great photos coming in, I'm sure.
And shitty photos. And
yeah, and you might have great work, but if it's a shitty photo, it's not really selling it for you. Just take that time to make it a good shot. And have it in the best light.
And I'll say it again, because some of our listeners thought I was making a joke. I said, don't have it in your hand with your feet out in your shitty kitchen with your feet out, and don't have it stick. So Brigham Kendall, God bless him, had it sticking out of his zipper. and he tags us, and he tags Damasiel. It's just like, and you see his fucking toes and his kitchen floor. I mean, at some point, you guys, it's not, people must think you're fucking nuts. If you're doing that on Instagram, like you're listening to, and not the whole world isn't listening to Knife Talk. You know, it's like the smallest, they must have thought, Bingo, that you were the fucking wackoest of them all. You got your feet out on your floor, and you got your knife sticking out of your zipper like your dick, and you're holding it like a limp dick. Your friends and family must have thought you were out of your fucking mind, and that's on you. Don't blame us. You want to be a wacko. Be a wacko. That's the reason why Mark Zuckerberg's out with you, because you had your knife in your hand like a limp dick with your toes out. Don't do it. Take a nice picture. Be a professional. You're representing the knife making community. You said everything you had to say.
The limp dick category.
The limp dick category. And don't start, guys. And you're not when you do these things because you're trying to make us laugh. It makes us laugh, but it only makes us laugh. Yeah. Everybody else thinks you're fucking wacko.
Yeah, yeah. It's an in-joke, which you're doing publicly. Yeah, yeah.
Those in-jokes just don't seem... I mean, nobody gets... Then you have to explain it. Oh, yeah, the guys at Knife Talk said, who? Who? Oh, you got to listen. You don't listen to Knife Talk? Of course I don't. Well, we also have red flags, by the way.
Okay, let's do a few of them.
Well, there is one question that I have to get to, and it's Caleb Burgess. This is a question for just the two of you, thank God. I have two questions that you may not be allowed to answer. Number one is, what is going on with Mareko's sword project? And two, whatever happened to Craig's sitcom? So, Mareko, what's going on with your sword project?
The sword project has been put on hold because I got other shit I got to do. More than anything, I got bills to pay, and unfortunately there's no guarantee that the sword's gonna make any money, so it has to sit on the sidelines for a while I get paid and make some money to take care of business, and then I'll get back to it in probably a few months.
Good answer. Now Craig, what's going on with your sitcom?
Well, on Sunday a TV show aired in the UK called This Town. But it wasn't fucking mine, was it? It was the guy who wrote Peaky Blinders. So I heard in the news about a year ago, the guy who wrote Peaky Blinders was having a new show called This Town. And obviously it's going to be a huge show because, you know, that was a huge smash worldwide, Peaky Blinders, and spawned a million bad haircuts around the world. So there is a This Town on the TV, but it's not mine. And what happened is, it was actually started with my wife had started writing this script, and it was really funny, and we were going to call it This Town. So I wrote the song, and then with the studio and all the rest of it. And that sort of took over a little while. That the song took over things. But weirdly, just this week, my wife has been back on the script again.
Oh.
So yeah, it's a thing. We're gonna have to change the name now. Oh, I gotta write another song now. Yeah. But
oh my god, this song,
my poor wife. You know what? It's her birthday as well today, and I've been ill, and so you know I haven't been able to give her the best birthday. And I'm just thinking about this now. I'm thinking, what a shitbag. She was doing this great thing, and I come along and I steamrolled her over to say, oh, it needs a song, and I steamrolled. And again, I'm thinking about doing the same thing. Hey, when you got talent like this, you can't put it down.
Maybe the 355s need to do some self-deprecating jokes, like you know how Weezer did "I'm a Loser" or you know what is this song?
That was Beck.
Creep. Who did Creep?
Radiohead.
Yeah, Radiohead. Maybe you need to do like "I'm a shitbag, baby, worst husband in the world."
So why don't you kill me?
Worst husband in the world by the 355s.
Yeah. It's trundling along there. Yeah.
All right. That was a good question. Good answers.
Jeff,
questions.
You also had some TV stuff that you were potentially going to do.
Yes. I did.
What's happening with yours?
I wrote a script for a movie, for a show, and it was great. And this production company loved it. And they were coming down to film a sizzle reel, and then the fucking panty happened. So the panty took over, and the guy just like lost interest in life. I think he's still around, but I mean, it was like all of a sudden it was like he decided to change his lifestyle. So once the panty,
I think it's wiped out a lot of sort of independent writing for
all
TV.
All this TV stuff,
so
and
much
creative endeavors. They're so the concepts are so flimsy and fragile. I mean, think about the show your wife's writing. You wrote a whole big thing about it that somebody already wrote a show with the same title, and then now all of a sudden your song's out. You know, there's such little these flimsy, fragile things that you just can't be too high and too low. It's just, I mean, Mareko, you had a show you were doing years ago too.
Yeah. Yeah, that fizzled out basically because... Yeah. The guy that was shopping it around, what is it? The different networks that they were talking to, essentially they weren't looking for a bunch of white guys making weapons and traveling around the world. They were trying to do more...
That's the title. That's the title, though. I'd watch that. A bunch of white guys making weapons and traveling around the world.
It's
on ice.
Is that the exact thing that they said?
I guess that's what he was getting back from a few different networks, basically. So that kind of got tabled, and which is unfortunate because it took like a year of lawyering to just get the shopping contract between me and the production company ironed out, because they essentially were saying they would take all ownership of the whole concept when it was my fucking idea. And I was basically trying to as amicably as possible.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Be like, no, you're not taking my idea and owning it and everything that goes along with it. We are sharing this 50-50. You're the production company. You're going to help figure out how to get it made. But this is my people. These are my... that like the crew I was going to put together, this is my talent, this is like these are the rest of it's my fucking idea, and it was expensive. $12,000 later, nothing.
All right, so look, that's life. I mean, that's how life is. I mean, everything can't be net positive.
Right.
But you figured it out. You know, it seemed that was a pretty good red flag. But it's interesting that you say that, because we were working with a chef who I had a conversation with, not one of the guys I was dealing with today. And we were talking about designing knives. And he goes, I designed a knife with this knife maker. And then he liked it so much that he took the idea and stole the design from me. And my hackles went up, because I thought, there's no way this guy designed a knife.
Right.
This is a fucking cook. You know, don't get... And he ended up sending us a picture of the knife that he designed. He didn't fucking design this knife. I mean, this was like basically like, you know, chef knife, harpoon clip, you know, standard, you know, money grab, you know, Cuban knife, nothing. You know, this is like, I almost said to the guy, like, your guy stole it from me. You know, I almost said that, but I didn't. What I did do is I did say to Allison, we have to be very careful in regards to who owns these design ideas. And the way we frame collaborations is what I frame, how I frame them is, let me make a knife based off of some of the things that you like in the vein of what we do. So then when it comes down to the collaboration, they have a knife of what they're thinking about within the vein of what I do. And all of a sudden they didn't design anything. I basically made an homage to what I think that they want, but it's not their design. It's my design.
Right.
I get very, very like, I'm not going to get, we're not going to have, there are going to be, there's going to be zero questions in regards to who owns this design. Because what can happen is they all of a sudden they can shot. He wanted me to make the knife that this dude made. And I'm just like, that's not how it works. Like right now I'm making a knife with Elon Hall. He told me the things that he likes. And I said, let me take what you, the words that you're saying and the colors that you're saying and the things that you're saying and make my inspiration based off of what you're saying. And now there's no question. It's not like he comes in and says, I designed this knife. No, I designed the knife. That's really, really important. Because what you don't want is you want some fucking flea bag stoned out cook thinking all of a sudden they're like Bob Kramer. And you just were like the fucking pencil sharpening monkey put it together.
Yeah, makes sense. Right, let's do one more question before we go on to other stuff from Paul Janzin. Do you want to do that one, Mareko?
Yeah, I just got to slide back up to the top. I've been living at the bottom of the pile here. All right.
Just get rid of them.
Oh, no, I've gotten rid of the one at the bottom. I just... Okay, got him. Okay, Paul Janzin, can you use a plasma cutter to cut profiles out of Damasteel, or can that potentially separate the layers? And do you harden at full thickness, or can you grind in the bevels before heat treat? I asked Damasteel the same thing, and Carly is asking the team also, but she said you guys were wanting these questions for the show. She's right.
She's diverting her work to
Carly.
Us now.
She's doing us a solid.
We're not doing an admin for you, Carly. Come on, sort it out.
Speaking of which, do you know what Carly wrote to me, Craig? Did I tell you what she wrote to me? She sent me the billet of Dakar.
Don't lose it. I did hear, she had
the nerve... The nerve to say, don't lose it. Carly. I mean, you think I'm just going to...
While simultaneously sending us her work.
I mean, what's going on, Carly? What is going on? Go ahead. What do you think, guys? Love Carly.
Can it be plasma cut to cut profiles out of domiciles? Or can that potentially separate the layers? I don't know about separating the layers, but generally you buy Damasteel in sort of not in huge sheets anyway. So I suppose you could probably still use a plasma cutter to do that. But with regards to separating the layers, I don't know. Mareko, you'd be more up on that.
I think they do a good job of making sure the material's solid, so I don't think that there's any layers that are going to be coming apart. I also think that I've seen some of the production processes of companies that use Damasteel, and they do use like lasers or plasma tables and water jet and all kinds of stuff. And so I think plasma would be fine, especially, if it's like a handheld plasma cutter. I forgot about plasma torches. I always think of plasma tables these days.
CNC plasma
tables. But yeah. It's a small bar. You should be able to cut it down just fine. Or just in general, whatever size bar it is, you should be able to cut it down just fine. No problem. I would be careful though to stay off of your line, because when you're using a plasma, whether it's a CNC table or by hand, you are literally melting the material. You don't want any of that to be part of your finished product. So I would make sure to at least stay off your line, make sure you have a good kind of buffer zone from what you actually want to be your finished product made out of that material.
Unless you're doing like a big run where everything needs to be exactly the same, it just seems like a lot more work than you'd need. You know, you'd buy the bar similar to the dimensions that you need and cut from there.
Yeah, I just used my porter band to cut Dharma Steel.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, in fact, I did that this week. I was cutting Dharma Steel with a porter band this week, and it was, yeah, super simple.
Craig back in the shop.
Yeah.
You didn't mention that.
I know.
That.
I did.
What the fuck?
Yes. I did send a message to Jeff with some pictures, and I'm like, what? And he's like, go, girl. I was like, okay, thanks for that.
here's one thing I do worry about. I do worry about steel with a plasma cutter, because the plasma cutters are awesome, but sometimes the parts that are consumables, they get all fucking gunked up, and you got them too close, and then all of a sudden you're just kind of overheating the steel. I always get worried that some of the steel, especially with a handheld plasma cutter, you're probably, I don't know if you should be maybe normalizing afterwards. Like I would think that particular part is slightly, I wouldn't want that. That's why you get stuff water jet cut, because you're not adding heat to that part of the steel. I always get a little bit concerned about that. And there are other types of steel. Like I just finished some AEBL core Baker Forge steel. It's AEBL core, but there are specific directions in regards to how you heat treat it, because what you don't want is the heat treat, or if it gets too hot, the jacket can separate from the core. So I always get a little bit nervous about plasma cutters. And I know my friend Jonathan Porter uses a plasma cutter for his knives, and he's very smart about that stuff. But I would be really worried about overheating your material when you're using it, especially considering how expensive Dharma Steel is.
Yeah.
But what Mareko said too, don't fucking cut the line.
Yeah. Stay off the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Okay.
We got a couple red flags if you want to do them.
Let's do them. Yeah.
Okay. This first one comes from our friend Littleton Supply Company. If you're not following Littleton Supply Company, you're making a mistake. The guy is fucking hilarious. He says, it's been a minute and I got a red flag. If someone DMs you and insists on paying with PayPal, it's a trap. Don't fall for the banana tailpipe. If they continue on, they insist on paying with PayPal, just let them know that you use Ligma and they can use PayPal to transfer money to your Ligma account. It's always great to keep up the great show. Have you heard heard of these new scams where people are using PayPal and that's the problem?
No.
No. I mean, I've heard of PayPal scams for a long time, but I don't know
if it's new, but it's happening a lot. And I think Gentry Custom Blades had the same thing happen where somebody bought, they said, just pay me with PayPal. They paid and then they did reverse charge once they got the knife, and then PayPal took the money out of their account and gave it back to the guy. There was really no recourse for the seller. Mm. I think that's what
PayPal will freeze immediately. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Ligma, by the way, is Ligma balls. I've been hearing a lot of new ones. Like these nuts and stuff like that. I actually did one too. Oh, I did a, I had a fucking famous YouTuber wondering, I was doing the flip videos and it was like, I think I put some walnuts onto a hammer and flipped it with, and turned into a walnut handled thing. And he goes, well, what do you do? What's your favorite? I don't know, something about nuts. And I said, I usually like to use D's. And then everyone just obliterated him in the comments. And he's like, oh, I realize I fucked up. So, all that. Dragon's good too. I hear you like dragons, Craig. You like dragons?
What do you mean, dragons?
You're dragging these nuts across your face.
Oh, Jesus.
And then there's Christ. And then the other one is I hear you.
You're 15, Jeff. You're 15.
Craig, I hear you like the ladies. Ladies balls across your face. You know, it's all. God. You laugh. You say I'm 50, but you fucking laugh. Here comes
my daughter, who's five, one of the more normal daughters. We tell her these jokes and she repeats them and she thinks they're hilarious, but she doesn't understand them.
God.
So what is why do squirrels swim on their back?
I don't know why.
To keep their nuts dry. So she says that and laughs as she's but she has got a clue what she's saying.
Oh my god!
And it's just hilarious.
Oh,
when she does.
Oh god, that is hilarious.
What's the difference between snowmen and snow women? That's her other favorite one. Snowballs.
Oh geez, that's a good one too.
Yeah, filthy mouth on it. Only five.
Ooh, look at you. Look at you. This one comes from Rick Elm. Here's a red flag. And by the way, if you want to send us a red flag, by all means, send them to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Red flag. I rented a table at a local two-day crafts fair event displaying about 10 of my chef knives. A man in his mid-60s approached my table and started picking up all my knives, all my chef knives, and testing the edges for sharpness on his fingers, completely disregarding my signs about asking permission before touching. He then exclaimed, "None of these knives are sharp except for that one," pointing at the one and most expensive Damascus chef knife on the table. He asked the price, and I told him he offered to only write a check for the substantial amount. I told him I took cash, Venmo, or PayPal, and no checks. I told him I could hold the knife for him, and he would be back the next day it's a two-day event. He handed me his business card and told me to call me if I didn't sell it. I never called him, and it's my opinion that I dodged a bullet, so to speak. I may have lost a sale, but he sounds like he would have been a problem child for me in the future.
For sure. I agree.
Everything about that, I think there's three stages there. We're just like, oh, geez, that's no good.
Yeah, three stages, that's right. Oh, the point. everything about that guy is the worst.
Trying to belittle your work and then trying to bargain for it as well. It's just like, come on.
Oh, God. I swear to God. Craig has said it once, and he said it a million times. People. It's fucking people. People. Yeah. They are the worst. Yeah. I swear. It's just
not everybody. Not everybody. You know who's great? People at Broadbeck. They're great people. Jeff, tell them all about your Broadbeck. God.
You want to talk about great people? Go to BroadbeckIronworks.com and put in the promo code KNIFETALK10 for 10% off everything. The grinders, the chassis, the attachments. Horizontal, vertical, all the attachments. If you don't have a chassis, you can retrofit everything. It's the best. And you can get it painted. You can put it together. You can do it yourself. They have a ton of different options. So go to BroadbeckIronworks.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10 for 10% off from some nice guys. Nice. There you go.
Nice. What we got? Should we go back to a few questions?
Or if you want to do a question then after show?
Yeah. Okay.
Because you're the one with the kink gut.
I am the one with the kink pipe. I'm okay. Okay. I'm okay. Actually, I'm Dr. Chris in this at the moment. I got super, I'm super, super hot. So I've had to take my top off. So thankfully, we got no video.
You get your titties out?
I have.
Yeah, all right, baby. got the ladies out.
Okay, this is one for Mareko, I think, from NC Custom Forge. Again on Instagram, a Knife Talk podcast on Instagram. DM us your questions, not to our individual accounts, please. NC Custom Forge. Hey guys, is there a full tang version of a museum fit up? I've seen some that leave the tang just a touch proud of the scales, which is kind of the opposite of the museum fit. Is this an aesthetic option or something done for a particular reason?
I have seen that with the tang slightly proud, and I think it's a personal call. I have also seen full tangs. In fact, I am working on a full tang knife that is going to have a museum fit up, and typically that means the handle material, whether they're scales for a full tang or a block for a hidden tang, is slightly proud of either the tang or the guard or whatever else the handle material is coming into contact with. And so like for my knives, if it was an integral chef's knife, then the integral bolster would lead into a handle block, and that handle block would step up maybe like a 32nd of an inch. It's just a tiny step. But again, that's my personal preference, and that's what I'm doing for this Loveless style knife that I'm working on. It's just going to be a small step because I don't want it to be obnoxious or to draw too much attention. It's just a very small detail that I'm adding to the overall build of this piece. But when it comes to the handle material being just slightly undersized for the tang, I think I've seen that mostly on production stuff where scales are being pre-cut. And I think it might be an intentional choice, but to help prevent any kind of cleanup work after the blades are received and then the handles are assembled, you know, especially if the scales are just being like torque bolted on or something to that effect, where they're not going to need any additional cleanup. That way they can just slap the scales on, bolt them on, and move forward. And if they're slightly undersized and it's, they do it so it's consistent all the way around. Then if they were, then that's something that is just kind of an aesthetic quality, rather than if the scales came and they were supposed to fit the tank flush, then additional work would need to be done to then make sure that those scales truly are flush with the tang around the handle shape. This is kind of helping to alleviate that step of any additional work and to streamline the production of that knife style. And like I said, I've seen that mostly on production style knives. I don't think it's necessarily a bad look or actually even feel uncomfortable. It's definitely a decision, I think, made on trying to streamline a process and alleviate steps where steps can be skipped or yeah, not even be a step. But yeah, when it comes to doing it in the other direction where it's proud, it is a giant pain in the ass, because instead of skipping a step, you're adding about 8 or 9 steps. So that's what I got for museum fit ups. What do you guys got? Anything? Yep.
I'm not the biggest fan of them,
sure.
Personally, because I just think things need to be functional and to work as best as they can be when you need it to. So yeah, that's all I got, sure. Really.
I'm with you. Still I got you. Nothing. I have a list of variations for Ligma. Sorry, I don't really. I'm just trying.
You're just looking on your phone.
I don't. I you know the museum fit. I've done it before, and I don't have much to add. I think that it's. I think, frankly, I don't really have much to add. It's. I think what you said is perfect.
Okay. Well, before we go to an after show, I want to tell everybody all about TexasFireSupply.com. They've been with us for so long as reading their ads, because they're great. We use them, and we use the stuff that they sell. They've got everything that you need, whether you're a farrier, a knife maker, a bladesmith, whatever you want to call yourself. They've got it all there, including the fantastic Indasa Rhino Whet, which is the sandpaper that you need to be using. If you're not using it, you're making a mug of yourself. Get yourself some Rhino Whet, because it saves time and it saves money. So head on over to TexasFireSupply.com. Use Knife Talk 10 to get your 10% off. And support those guys, TexasFireSupply.com. I've made it to the end, just about. Right, should we go to an after show?
Yes.
Here we are. Welcome to the after show, everyone.
I found this is legitimately the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
Oh my god!
Hey, buddy. It says, "Hey, buddy. I have a bunch of old albums. Do you like 2 CDs?" And someone would say, "Sure, thanks." To see these nuts.
Oh my god!
That's terrible.
That's so bad.
That is terrible.
That's really bad. But then I'll just read off from the master post. There's Ligma, Eatma, Fugma, Kissma, Chokma, Fondlema, Stigma, Tugunma, Slobunma, Cupma, Nibblema, Tipama, Jergama. There's
Nibblema. There's
Bofidies, Dragondies, Sugundies, Rubundies. Do I keep going? This is so stupid. There's My Fat, there's Rhydon, there's Sawcon, Slobbertron, Tipidis.
My god.
Is that a Greek
there's
island?
There's Imagine Dragons, there's Slaw Bunnies, there's Penny. I don't know, but this is fine. It's fucking ridiculous. Tulip, plant tulips, and all that stuff.
Craig, I just got your photo.
Calm yourself, lads. Calm yourself.
Fit, from what I can see, at least.
You sent a photo? Oh my god, look at you.
Fully naked. Fully naked.
Jesus. I like your glasses.
These I've lost my good glasses, so these
How are you fucking these sitting like around a, like that on that chair? That's a good picture.
What do you mean? What do you mean sitting around like that on the side? Well, bent over the chair like that for the Suggies. Picture. Yeah. So what have you been watching, reading, listening to? What's been going on?
Go ahead, Mareko.
I've been watching Generation V on Prime, which is kind of a follow-up to The Boys. And now it's like the story on this one is about college kids who are superheroes going to a college, but things are not what they seem there, and we're at towards the end of the season, and it's all right. It's, I don't know, it's just a lot of like gross shit. And
don't you hate sometimes, it's all right? It's all right.
I'm watching
waste
it.
All this time, and you're just like, it's all right.
Well, we've just been following the story so long, and it's only like, I think it's only 8 or maybe 10 episodes, so we're almost done. But oh, I'm just like, gah.
Don't you feel like it's a waste? Don't you? Aren't you kind of like resentful? It's like,
nah, it's fine. I mean, I really enjoyed The Boys. The Boys was good, but the way they're doing this new season with the college kids is kind of weird. And I don't know. It's just like a lot of, I've been trying to get away from a lot of the slash and gore and guts and stuff because I'm just watching it. I'm like, what the fuck am I, why am I doing this? I don't really like enjoy this. So anyways, we'll finish it and that'll probably be a break for a while until like, I don't know. Some other Viking show comes up and we're still watching people slashing and gore and guts and stuff just from a historical perspective.
I've been into The Gentleman.
Me too.
It's good, isn't it?
The second episode, good. Hillary and I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very much, well, I mean, we mentioned Saltburn before, but that whole sort of visual thing, it just looks fantastic. The dialogue is great as well. It's really, I think I'm about 4 or 5 in. My wife has finished it and she's like, you've got to watch the end, you've got to watch it. I'm hooked.
It's Guy Ritchie does like so that, well those caricatures of people are so well done that it doesn't,
yes,
like, I don't like super realistic violence just because I feel like it is ultimately very socio antisocial, but like the Guy Ritchie creates these, so they're so over the top that I really appreciate what he puts into these kind of characters and then the writing and stuff like that. He's very, very good.
Yeah. It's so engaging. I watched the whole thing with a huge smile on my face.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it was just like, it's so, so good. Feast for the eyes. It's nice.
You also have some listener feedback, angry with your suggestions. There's someone who's
me.
From the Saltburn.
Not angry. No. Oh, by the way, don't. Yeah, people don't like that. people don't like that one. But here it comes. This one is from. This one's a good. I think it was Wilder Knives of Alaska. Oh no, wait. It was in. Yeah. Let me just talk about some shit for a second, and I'll.
And
I've always loved Guy Ritchie's stuff, and I think I saw a preview for that for The Gentleman a while ago, and I kind of completely forgot. We haven't been watching a lot of shows on Netflix, except for like Ninjago or like little kid shit for the kiddo. Otherwise, we've been watching like Prime or Apple TV or stuff like that. And
It's brilliant. Nice. It's the kind of thing, once you watch the first episode, you're in. You know,
it's good. It's a great first episode. So this one comes from Wilder Knives of Alaska. Here's my comment for the podcast. Damn you, Craig, for suggesting that uncanny podcast. It creeps me out, and I can't stop listening to it for some reason.
It's so brilliant.
You've destroyed poor Wilder Knives of Alaska's sleep, I think.
It's really good. And there's another one. I mean, these crime podcasts. I've turned into like a middle-aged woman. You know, because that's the market. That's the market for them. I mean, you've seen the picture.
Yeah, certainly have. I mean, the ladies. Bunch of ladies nuts.
There's one called Red Handed, and there's these two women that do it. And they just go through like an hour, each hour-long episode is like one case. And they're all real-life cases. And it's just brilliant. It just draws you in. So when you're driving or something like that, it's brilliant. They just draw you in. Really, really sort of recommend those. If you've got long journeys to do, that kind of thing, to keep you going. Red Handed. So it's on Spotify, but I'm sure it'll be on all the podcast platforms.
Well, the Yankees started, the baseball season has started, and the Yankees are doing insane. They went on a road trip and they beat two amazing teams, and they're 6-1. And it's like everyone is excited and it's fun to watch, and the team's great, and it's been so much fun to watch sports. And now we just heard that our playoff hopes are dashed because our main guy, Julius Randle, who's incredible, is out for the season. We hope he was going to come back in time for surgery, in time for the playoffs. Now it's not going to happen. So I've been all sports all the time. I really like the physicality, and I like this kind of like excellence that these guys do. And it's been, my wife and I have been having such a good time. She's been buying tickets left and right. So we're going to go see. We're going to see the fucking totality in Yankee Stadium. We're really excited about that. But I'm trying to think of, we watched The Gentleman, and then Curb Your Enthusiasm. We watched that. That's still really funny. Did you ever watch the episode about the contest, Craig?
No.
Oh, dude. That's the one where they all have a bet to see who can go the longest without jerking off.
You're talking about Seinfeld.
Yeah.
That's the best Seinfeld.
Yes, that's the one.
That's the one, because it's just everything about it. And then they were interviewing Larry David about that, and they said, "Where did that come up with?" And he goes, "That happened. I had a bet with a guy, and he and I bet who could go the longest, and I won." So that was the hippest behind the whole episode. So that's, if you're in Seinfeld, right, that's the one for you.
You were talking about sports earlier, and you're all in on the sports. Do you follow football, like NFL football?
This past year I have. Yeah.
So have you got the news about the Welsh rugby player?
No.
Lewis Rees-Sammet. Young Welsh rugby player who's like the bright new star. He was going to be great. And last year he just retired. And I think he's like early 20s. He just retired. And it turns out he's gone to the States, and he's just signed for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. They're the Super Bowl champions.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I don't think he's actually in the full squad at the moment. They call him like playmakers, you know, whatever it is. But apparently he's doing very well. But it's just mad that he was top of the game. He would have been a superstar here.
The reverse Ted Lasso, I guess.
I suppose so, yeah, yeah. And they reckon he's the fastest in the NFL. He can do it like a 100-yard sprint faster than anybody else.
What a great story.
Interesting to follow that. Yeah,
that
yeah.
should be really cool. That should be a really cool story to follow.
But it's all the news over here. That's all we're hearing all the time, because at the moment everything is pretty,
I feel as though, you know, the world is really so hard and so like difficult, and there's so many things that like, obviously, you can't talk about politics without people losing their fucking minds. You can't talk about what's going on in the world without people losing their minds. I feel like there's this purity with sports that allows you to just kind of enjoy being in the moment and seeing, you know, young excellence. And yeah, I've said it a million times, but 9/11 really was the worst day of my life. No question, being in the city, seeing the second plane hit the tower on the fucking bridge. And we never thought we were going to get back to real life until the Yankees played in October. And it was like this moment where the world is going to be back. We're going to be okay. And ever since then, watching sports has been this really calming balm that my wife and I have really, really enjoyed. We're watching Yankees together, watching the Knicks together. You know, well, maybe we'll see a hockey game. We're not really want to, but at the same time, sports has been something for me that's been really, really like a great release from stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's your hockey team? The Rangers?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a Rangers guy. Apparently, there was a brawl within the first 2 minutes of the game, like 10 different guys, 5 different brawls at the same time on the ice at the same time. So there's 10 guys like just having a fucking brawl on the ice. There weren't enough refs to break it up. It was total madness. So yeah,
I used to think a lot of that was panto when I was younger, you know, because you see them and you know they're not really out to hurt each other. This bang bang, it's over, and they get on with the game again.
They fuck themselves up, dude.
Yeah, they do.
It's fucking madness.
Yeah,
really, it's madness that we allow it. It's madness that like the refs will stand there and let them duke it out for 5 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah. Right. Let's call it a day, and and we shall be back again next week. So thank you all for listening. Remember, if you've got questions, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Keep them short, to the point, DM to us, and we'll get to them. Bye for now.